And today is Pentecost Sunday. And this week, I've had the words of the old hymn that many of you will know very well, that was written, well, a long, long time ago, actually 1894, by William Booth, who was the founder of the Salvation Army. O God of burning cleansing flame. And that's been kind of, well, for the last couple of weeks, actually, that's been really going round in my heart. But I've been stuck on one half of one of the verses. And I keep thinking about that. And it's raised some questions in my mind, which I hope that we're going to be able to answer together today. And I've been thinking it and I've been singing it. And it's the second half of verse one. Look down and see this waiting host and send the promised Holy Ghost. We need another Pentecost. Send the fire today. Send the fire today. We need another Pentecost. That's the kind of the part of the verse that I've just been stuck on. We need another Pentecost. And it just in my heart, as that song was written for us to sing, it kind of raised this question. What happened then? And that's what I want to look back at. What happened then, and why do we need something like that to happen again today in our day? And I just want to ask why. Why do we need another Pentecost? And we're going to have a look at that, the day the Holy Spirit came, from the book of Acts. So if you have a Bible and you want to go there, if not, the scriptures will flash up on the screen during the course of the day. And we're just going to ask that question. That's the cry of the song. We need again something to happen like what happened back then. So what are the similarities between the needs of their day and ours? And Acts chapter 2, verse 5 tells us something really interesting. I encourage you to read Acts 1, Acts 2. In fact, I encourage you to read all of the book of Acts because it's amazing. But Acts chapter 2, verse 5 tells us something really interesting about when God chose to send the Holy Spirit. And it says there that he sent the Holy Spirit at a time, and I quote, when people from every nation under heaven, okay, were staying in Jerusalem. Verse 6 actually talks about a multitude who had gathered there. They were there for Pentecost, which was traditionally like a harvest festival. And they were there, and great crowds would gather from all over and come into Jerusalem to be there to celebrate, you know, the harvest coming in. And, you know, there'll be wave offerings and everything as they celebrated that. And this was the time when God chose to send the Holy Spirit. There was no accident in that. It wasn't just like, oh, I think today's a good day. This was the appointed time that God chose to send the Holy Spirit at a time when the city was full. At a time when there were crowds, at a time when people were looking on. Remember, this was about to be the birth, the launch of the church. This was the early church. And so God chose to send the Holy Spirit among them in the early church at a time when a great number of people would be looking on. They would witness God come in powerfully like this. And God came in power. Jesus said he would in Acts chapter 1, and we'll read that later on. God came in power through the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus had promised. Do you know, I believe that God's intention was always that when people looked at the church, they would see and experience the presence and power of God at work. And there's something in that, in the timing that God chose to send the Holy Spirit. When there was a great number of people looking on, they would see the presence and power of God at work in the early church. You know, the Holy Spirit was coming for that reason, for that purpose. He was coming for purpose at a time when people would see him moving in his presence and power. And so that as people witnessed that, people would be saved, people would be set free, people would be healed, transformed, delivered. Transformation began to break out everywhere after the Holy Spirit began to move at them. Now here, interestingly for me, is what's been going through my head. We are living in days right now when perhaps, certainly in my lifetime, I don't know for others, but it seems to me like perhaps there are more people than ever looking on at the church, looking at us. There is a crowd, if you like, gathered. There are onlookers who are looking to the church right now, who are asking questions, who are searching in their own heart. You know, we're certainly seeing in our own experience with online church, you know, great numbers of people who seem to be gathering to see what we're doing. Some who we know and some we don't. And we're loving having you with us. And it's just interesting that there is something happening here around that. The emails that we're getting, the messages, the conversations I'm having with people, getting in touch saying, hey, we're watching, we're from here, we're from there, we, you know, I think, wow, God, what is happening? I just want to show you a few statistics. Now, these aren't everything, and I'm going to read something at the end, but just by means of encouragement, you may have heard this. But, you know, a Tier Fund survey said you normally expect 5 to 7% of the nation to attend a Sunday service at least once a month. But at present, online, we're seeing 24%. Okay, now don't forget, for me, there's nothing physically better than being together, but something is interesting here. A national newspaper, that was The Guardian, ran the headline, "The British public turn to prayer as 1 in 4 tune into religious services online." Did anyone ever think they would see a headline like that? Nikki Gumbel, who wrote the Alpha course and leads HTB Church, says, "I've never known a time in my life when people are more open to God's word than they are now." I like what Pete Grieg from 24/7 said about those things. He said, is virtual church attendance everything we're praying for? Of course not. But is it encouraging? You'd better believe it. My friends, this is a time to pray with greater faith, preach with greater confidence, and plan with great ambition. It's not everything, but it's something. Let's dare to believe. Now, here's the crucial question for me. If there is a crowd or there are people who are looking on, what do they see? Okay. Or what do they need to see within the Holy Spirit? Right now, we've got no physical buildings to show them. We've got no nice coffee that we can put on to offer them. And don't get me wrong, I'm very grateful for both. I'm grateful that God has given us a building. And I'm grateful for, well, I don't actually personally like coffee, but I'm sure those of you who do are grateful for nice coffee. And maybe for some people think, oh no, what's going to happen? I've got, you know, no building to show them around. I've got none of these extra kind of things like nice coffee and stuff to introduce them to things. And so it feels like it's a bit of a messy time for some, and it's a discouraging perhaps kind of thing. But I want to encourage you today, friends, that when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, actually, and we haven't time to go into it, it was quite a messy time for God's people. Don't forget, Jesus had been crucified, okay? He'd risen from the dead, and he's talking to his disciples before he ascends or goes back to the Father in Acts chapter 1. But it was an uncertain time for a lot of them. There was perhaps understandably some fear and anxiety kicking around, uncertainty about the future. Would they be next? You know, what would things look like now? Jesus was no longer physically walking the earth with them. And, you know, if you'd have looked in it, you might have looked around and said, oh, no, what are we going to do? This feels like quite a messy time. But what we actually realize is what you may have called a messy time was God's time. And I just want to say, I get a sense in my heart that it was God's time then, because there was a crowd who were looking on, and God intended for the Holy Spirit to move powerfully so they experienced his presence and power. I just feel in my heart, when we cry, we need another Pentecost, at a time which some people might say, hey, it's a messy time, I think it's God's time. And I think that actually at this time, what we need the people to see now is the presence and power of God at work in the church through the Holy Spirit. Remember back then they had no nice buildings. Remember back then, I don't think they had nice coffee or certainly the tech and things that we have now. But God was at work doing three things. I believe that he was reminding us as we look back at this now. He was reminding us as we look back on the early church there, before the buildings ever came along, church was first always meant to be a group of people empowered by the Holy Spirit. So we're reminded of that this year as we cry out, we need another Pentecost. Before the church became buildings, it was always meant to be a group of people empowered by the Holy Spirit. The church is the people. Secondly, that what an onlooking, watching world needs to see right now is the power and presence of God at work in the church. And remember, the church is the people. Thirdly, reminding us of what they learned then, which is to reach the world for Jesus, we need to be totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit. We need another Pentecost. Send the fire today. Send the fire today. You know, in Acts 1, verse 4 through to 5 and verse 8, which we'll bring up for you now, you know, Jesus was really emphatic, but when he'd risen from the dead and he was speaking to his disciples before he went back to the Father, it says, and while he was staying with them, he ordered them. Note that there. He ordered them. That's really strong. He didn't just suggest. He ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with or in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Remember verse 8 there, that's Jesus' last words. In verse 9, he goes back to the Father. So, you know, I think that my last words on earth, I'd want to make them important ones. You know, this will be my lasting message. So we have to say, how important to Jesus was it that the early church, that we now in our day, would understand that we need to be a group of people empowered by the Holy Spirit, that an onlooking, watching world needs to see the presence and power of God at work, and that we need to know that to reach this world with the gospel, with the good news of Jesus Christ, we have to be totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit. You know, these were no novices who Jesus was speaking to. These were guys of prayer, faith and experience. They'd been around Jesus. You know, I think it was Spurgeon who said they'd been in the College of Christ for 3 years. You know, imagine having Jesus as your mentor and your tutor and living with him every day for 3 years. And yet here he's saying to him, guys, do not even try and do anything without the Holy Spirit. I think that what he's trying to say to him is, look, if you just try and do this without the Holy Spirit, you're going to end up with a lot of effort, a lot of frustration. You know, he really needed them to grasp the importance of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit was everything to what God wants to do in and through his early church, in through his church and in the world today. John Stott said, as a body without breath is a corpse, so the church without the Spirit is dead. Wow. As a body without breath is a corpse, so the church without the Spirit is dead. And so Jesus' message, guys, don't even try and be the church. Don't even try and reach others, or don't even try and overcome your fears that you might have without the Holy Spirit. It's pointless. It's a waste of time. So he orders them to wait for him. You know, if that was the case for these guys, surely it has to be the case for us. You know, personally, these last few weeks, and I want to be genuine when I say I've become very aware in my own life, just considering, you know, how much am I depending upon the Holy Spirit? When you've been doing things for a long time, you've been used to church for a long time, you've been doing church for a long time, as I even suggested when we were singing earlier on, you can autopilot, you know how to do things, you can begin to rely on certain gifts or abilities that you might have, or ways and systems of doing stuff. And I've really felt very challenged these last few weeks of how consciously am I living aware of my need of the Holy Spirit. You know, before I come to preach to you today, am I really taking time to be making sure I can't do this without your Holy Spirit? You've got to come. If you don't come, there's going to be a lot of frustration and just a lot of perspiration, you know, just a lot of effort going into this, but not a lot coming out of this. But if the Holy Spirit begins to move, then we're talking about presence and power, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit being an absolute game changer. You know, have I almost perhaps sometimes become consciously or even subconsciously, unintentionally, over-dependent upon other things, when actually I need to make sure I need to return to this place of being really dependent upon the Holy Spirit? Because Jesus said that's what we need to be and how we need to live. You see, if you remove the Holy Spirit from the early church, friends, from the book of Acts, what have you got left? There'd be no stories of people being saved every day. There'd be no, you know, 3,000 coming to Christ in a day. Stunning miracles, signs and wonders. Prayer meetings that shake buildings. Communities in awe of seeing God at work. Favor of God upon all people, it says. They were having the favor of God, with all people. This deep love that we see, this commitment and unity and radical levels of generosity, this genuine transformation of lives and communities. Friends, it was all because of the Holy Spirit. Okay, at work among them, and nothing else. No buildings, no coffee, no tech, no add-ons, no nothing else. Just simply depending upon the Holy Spirit. Wow, maybe if we found our way back to that place as a church, we might just begin to see some really exciting stuff break out among us. I want to just read you the verses of the moment when the Holy Spirit came and make a couple of observations from that. Acts 2 verse 1 to 4 says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire, just underline that, appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know, when the Holy Spirit came that day, it talks about two elements there, wind and fire. You know, naturally powerful. And when you think of wind and fire, you think about how powerful those forces can be. You know, and it doesn't just say the Holy Spirit came as a gentle breeze just through the church. No, it says he came, and I quote, like a mighty rushing wind. I was just thinking about that lately, and I was thinking, you know, in strong winds over power and strong winds overwhelm. And it's like when the Holy Spirit comes like at this level in this way, as people seek for him to come, nothing can stand against him, not people, not places. They can be overwhelmed by the presence and power of God. We need another Pentecost. It talks here about, as it came, it filled the entire house where they were sitting. The tongues of fire that appeared and rested on each one of them. It talks about how they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. It talks about how all those who were gathered from all those nations, they came together and they said they were all hearing this language in their own tongue. There was an overwhelming, overpowering sense of the presence and power of God because of the Holy Spirit at work. And so both inside and outside of the church, they felt and experienced the Holy Spirit. That's so significant. The Holy Spirit was powerfully moving as they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. The church, the people of God, were filled with the Holy Spirit. And that changed everything. I want to tell you, friends, the day I got filled with the Holy Spirit, it radically transformed and changed my relationship with God. You know, as they were filled inside, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit, everything in them began to change. And then what we see is everything began to change outside in the community, both inside and outside. We need another Holy Spirit to move inside us powerfully, in the church powerfully, and outside in our community. Do you know, when the Holy Spirit moves like that powerfully inside the people who are the church, the community outside will feel it. Let me tell you, friends, as lockdown begins to get released, if you make more of a focus on the Holy Spirit, as you begin to return to meeting your family and friends in time, in the fullness of time, as that increases, let me tell you, what you're carrying inside can begin to affect those around you on the outside. The presence and power of God. You know, I remember driving home just a few months ago when those crazy storms were blowing, all the storm season we went through where they were coming through. I remember leaving church. It had been not too bad in the morning. I remember just as I left, I was actually walking back to my car. The heavens opened, the wind began to blow, and quickly the whole landscape changed. The whole scenery changed. You know, there were things getting moved. I remember seeing one, I walked through town. I remember seeing a card shop had got all their displays outside and their pink teddy bears just blown up the high street. I remember seeing trees and bins and everything like that were just blown and moved because the power of the wind that come. It was like those little teddy bears and those bins and those trees couldn't just stand and say, no, I'm not moving. There was an overwhelming sense of power that came through. You know, we need to believe for something like that, and it's possible. We want the Holy Spirit to move like that, that overwhelms and overpowers and moves and shifts things. And it says here, the Holy Spirit came suddenly. What an encouragement that is. That no matter what we see going on around us, we shouldn't be put off or step by that. If we are praying for the Holy Spirit to come, he can come suddenly. Suddenly, things can begin to change. Like that wind I was talking about, suddenly the landscape changed. I was reading the story just this week about John Livingston in 1630 when he preached in a place called Kirk O'Shots. I'd never heard of that. In Scotland. And the church had been holding a series of these services but had seen nothing happen and were a bit discouraged and flat at the way things were going, and not much had happened at all. And one night at short notice, Livingston was asked to preach, and as the preacher couldn't make it, and he stood to preach, and it had to be an outdoor meeting, and he had to stand to preach on a gravestone. And after a little while, the heavens opened, and the rain apparently was like a deluge as it absolutely tipped it down and poured, and it threatened to begin to break up the meeting. You know, I think most people would have been run off saying, oh, it's raining. But for some reason, the people of God, the people who'd gathered here to hear this man of God, they didn't move. They stood for an hour in the pouring rain outside, just compelled as they stood, when suddenly, this account says, the Holy Spirit came and 500 came to Christ in a day. Wow, suddenly. So we want the wind, but also the fire, and fire spread. You know, the gospel, the message of Jesus, just accelerated like never before after the Holy Spirit came, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The Message version says, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread. God, we need some wildfires. And where did it begin? Verse 3, it says that these tongues of fire came upon them. Tongues of fire that rested upon them. And out of that outflow, as they begin to speak, and in this language, it talks about they began to say there that they were amazed and perplexed. They heard them declaring the wonders of God in their own language. The crowd began to hear this. The fire fell and the fire began to spread. They were amazed as they heard it, it says here. They heard it in their own lung. They heard them declaring the mighty works of God. This fire that started inside the church began to spread and touch those outside of it. And in that context, Peter, in verse 14, stands to preach the gospel. And friends, 3,000 people in a day come to Jesus. It's like the Holy Spirit just set the gospel message on fire. And it accelerated and spread. The gospel was on fire. Talks about day after day, people were being saved and added to the church. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. What a difference between preaching the gospel without the Holy Spirit and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit makes. Because here, when a man preaches the gospel under and shares the good news of Jesus with people under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, like fire, it begins to spread. How and why did God use this man so powerfully? A man, you know, who I'll tell you a bit about in a moment, who, you know, looked so radically different before Pentecost. Simply, friends, because he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he was, and the Holy Spirit filled him. You know, before and after, there's no comparison with this guy. Before, when he spoke, the Bible records occasions when he would speak rashly or he'd speak words of denial. You know, he denied his faith, fear about his faith. So you get the impression how clammed up he would be, even if under the question of a servant girl. You know, are you one of them? I'm pretty sure you are. No, not me. And, you know, he was so fearful and afraid to share his faith. But then he goes from that to confidently standing and declaring and sharing his faith. Before a crowd, fearlessly and confidently, he's preaching the gospel. Where did that confidence come from? From the Holy Spirit. He was totally transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, when the Holy Spirit impacts us, we're no longer the same. And it's like we can't sit still. Peter couldn't sit still. The Holy Spirit didn't help him to preach an eloquent, super intellectual message. He simply preached Jesus, but with greater power. In verse 37, it says that those who heard it, and I love this, this is one of my actual, you know, things I often pray. It says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostle, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. No, like we're trying to coax people to respond. The power of the Holy Spirit cut them to the heart and they're just like, how do I get saved? What do I do? Friends, we need another Pentecost. We don't need better appeals or, you know, anything like that. What we need is the raw power of the Holy Spirit helping us to simply preach Jesus. We don't need to be eloquent or super intellectual to share your faith with others. You just need to be willing to be totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit and live in a way that says, I'm acknowledging that I cannot do this without you. What if we prayed every morning for the Holy Spirit to help us to share Jesus? Peter really teaches us it's only when we're filled with the Holy Spirit we discover what we can be and how much we can do in us and around us. The wind and the fire. When the Holy Spirit comes in power, he is seen, he is heard, and he is felt. Visible and audible power. Inward and outward, we need another Pentecost. You know, as I close, I just want to share one more thought with you, really. And I want to read you a quote, and it said this. There's so much truth in this. Because if we are wanting another Pentecost, I want you just to hear this. The truth is, until what we did in what they did in Acts 1, there will be no Acts 2. The truth is, until we do, or what they did in Acts 1, there will be no Acts 2. I said earlier, you know, they were living in some difficult and challenging days. And what I find interesting is actually they entered into almost what was like a lockdown period. Or a lock-in. Acts 1, you know, tells us they'd all gathered in one upper room in Jerusalem. And there they stayed. They locked themselves in. That's what Jesus told them to do, to go and wait. And they locked themselves in. They were in this lockdown period. They were staying in and not going out. They were waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. I think in that season, that lockdown, lock-in season, they realized they have one of three options. One, we can stress and worry. Remember, it was uncertain and messy times. Two, we could just have a go and have a try and try and share the message of Jesus, but there's no point in that because there's a lot of effort and frustration and won't produce anything. Or three, we can use this time to press into prayer for the Holy Spirit to come powerfully and be the game changer that Jesus said he would be. Acts 2. as well, as Acts 1 verse 14 tells us this. Acts 1 verse 14 says, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. This is when they were in that lockdown, lock-in, upper room. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. Acts 2 verse 1, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. They chose option 3, to press in and pray in this season for the Holy Spirit to come powerfully, for the presence and power of God to come among them. Out of that, friends, they prove that it's entirely possible for the message of Jesus and the gospel to thrive and advance in difficult times. I want to say to you, I believe the same is true today. As I close, I want to read you something. I was gifted a book for my birthday about the book of Acts, and I just want to read what it says here and give you my final thought. It says this. It says, we love the fact that the book of Acts is called Acts. It is not called Facts. It is about the Acts of the Apostles as they begin to live out the greatest commandment and commission of Christ. It is Acts, not facts, although we believe it to be true. Not just a narrative that we're called to digest and reflect on, but one that the Lord, by the arrival of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, invites us all to participate in. We love the words of the theologian Tom Wright when he says, what we are reading from this moment on is the opening scene or set of scenes in a play whose action we ourselves are called to continue. So all this exciting stuff we read in Acts, all that we say we dream of seeing, we're invited to still see today. But there can be no Acts 2 without Acts 1. So what if, my question as I close today, what if in this season of predominantly now staying in, what if we did what they did in theirs? How might our tomorrow look? Because the Holy Spirit and this kind of incredible stuff doesn't come to an elite few. It simply comes to the hungry. Those who are prepared to press in, seek and pray, and those who are prepared to depend upon the Holy Spirit. In the New King James Version, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. I've read that many times, but I felt God say to me on this occasion, you can't all be in one place, but you can still be in one accord. You know, unity is more than a numerical thing. It's believing and going after the same thing. And you know, in Acts 1 verse, they all devoted themselves to prayer. You know, I'm not sure it was just the sense of, let's just kind of stay here out of obedience. Of course it was that, Jesus asked them to do it. But I like to believe that actually the other thing that helped them stay in their presence was a growing sense of expectation. As every day passed, Jesus had promised. It wasn't a question of if, it was a matter of when. Friends, if we're prepared to do something like that, I don't think it's a question of if, it's just a matter of when. But there can be no Acts 2 without Acts 1. You know, for many days, nothing changed, and then suddenly. We need another Pentecost. So can I encourage you this Pentecost Sunday, church, position yourself over Pentecost in a place of hunger and expectation. I still believe for us as a church today, significant things happen when God finds a people willing to unite and willing to do this that they done in the early church, to press in and pray and depend upon the Holy Spirit. We need another Pentecost. Send the fire today. Send the fire today. Let's pray. Lord, I want to pray for every person this morning. Lord, I want to pray that as we exit out of today and we head into a new week, that our hearts will burn with a passion to, Lord, as it were, lock ourselves in with you and seek and pray for the Holy Spirit to move powerfully. Lord, I want to pray for our church. I want to pray for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Even now, you know, if you've not been filled with the Holy Spirit before and you're sitting at home, I tell you, he's the total game changer. Just stretch out your hands to him right now and just begin to say, Lord, I want this. Holy Spirit, come and fill me. And I just pray, Lord, for every believer who's never been filled with the Holy Spirit but is hungry for that right now, I just pray you will baptize them and fill them with the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, I dare to believe for the wind and fire to blow through homes and houses in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we dare to believe again in our day for something so powerful to begin to break out inside the church. And we are the church. We are the church. The church is the people. We're in our home. We've not stopped being the church. We dare to believe for something so powerful to break out inside of every believer's heart, inside of every home, home. The Lord, what begins to transform, it will begin to transform outside our society, our world, our friends, as people are looking on. Lord, we believe in for a great move of God. We're asking you to pour out your Holy Spirit. We're asking you to save, Lord God, great numbers of people. We're praying for stunning miracles, signs and wonders, favor, radical love, unity, generosity. Lord God, prayer meetings again that shake buildings, even if they're over Zoom. Well, Lord God, we believe today for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray our hearts, hear our hearts. We need another Pentecost. Lord, we cry in our hearts today, send the fire today. Send the fire today. And all God's people said, amen. I can't hear you, but I'm trusting that you're saying amen in your homes today.